Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Yes. Good day, America. I am your host, Glenn Atkinson, here at the Pitt Radio News. The Pitt stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth, and that was, from way back in 1965, that was Paul Harvey. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Over 50 years later, and look at how everything's coming. Isn't it amazing? Everything is the same, and it's worse and worse and worse. Welcome everybody to the Pitt Radio News. I have a co-host up in North Dakota, and his name is Gary Rumor. How's things going up there in North Dakota, there, Gary?
Well, it's going pretty good. I can't complain. We have kind of a gloomy day today, but it's probably upper 20s, early 30s, or low 30s in there for temperature. But it beats 20 below, that's for sure. And everything's, like I said, everything's going pretty good. Of course, you know, the snow is melting, everything's getting kind of muddy and sloppy out. But that's the spring in North Dakota for you. So, but yeah, it's nothing new's happening. It's pretty much the same old thing going on every day. So I've been helping my cousin haul corn to the elevator and stuff like that, and doing little odds like that just to keep me busy, and otherwise I go stir crazy inside the house, so I gotta be doing something. So anyway, I'll go turn it back to you, my friend.
Well, that's good to hear. You're doing well up there, and yes, I'm glad you're feeling better too. I know last weekend you had the flu with that, and I wasn't feeling that great myself. Actually, a little sluggish myself. So, we had to take the week off there because we weren't feeling up to it. But I'm very glad to see you're back and feeling better and whatever. And that's good to know. And anyhow,
well, thank you.
We do have a. No, you're very welcome. We do have a great show here, folks, and it's if you'd like to, you know, call in as a guest to, you know, have a comment or a question, you can call in at 646-787-8534. And then, like I say, if you want to have a comment, just press 1 or question, press 1, and we'll get you on here. And then, you know, speak about any of the current events that we have going on with us here. There's numerous things that have escalated over the last week or two. You know, one being that, you know, with that the school shooting there in Florida, you know, we've got to see the video of you know, the officer or security guard or whatever standing around pretty much doing nothing and whatnot. So you know, that's why he's no longer with them. But you know, it's incredible what happens with these school shootings and whatever, because there's just not enough security there. And you know, it's sad that we even talk that we should have security there. It should not be like that. But, you know, this gun law that they're trying to enforce or whatever, as far as, you know, get rid of all the guns from everybody and whatnot, it's got something that's just getting way out of hand. And we can't emphasize enough that the gun doesn't do it by itself. It's the person behind the gun. It just, you know, you cannot have a gun just walking around and shooting people. It doesn't do it. It has to have an attitude of a person behind it. So, you know, it's really getting out of hand, isn't it, Gary?
It is. And like I said, if guns were responsible, then why haven't we seen any guns thrown in jail? See? They act as if somehow the gun itself is doing it, and it's the people that pull the triggers that go to jail, you know. And the thing is, too, I tell you, as repulsive as the Democrat Party has been in the past, you know, the party of slavery, you know, where they put themselves, they want power so badly that they don't care who they destroy. And right now, this agenda of gun control, they want the gun so bad. It isn't about school shootings. They really don't care that much about it. This is my opinion. If I'm wrong, anybody can call and disagree with me, but I've just seen too much of this in the past. I mean, look at the pro-abortion party. I mean, why would they care about their children in the school? The kids are being sacrificed to promote an agenda. That's gun control. And there is a solution to this stuff. I tried to post that. I post it. That gets deleted. I post that. I say, here's a solution. If you, okay, you want a gun-free school, fine. There's only one way I can think of what would work. You're going to have to lock the doors. And like Paul Harvey said, we're going to have the metal detectors in all entrances, because that's the only way you're going to find them. I mean, you know, stop it. But that's not going to happen because they have an agenda. So even if they ban the guns, you know, it's going to keep going on. So then they keep banning more guns, and then eventually it's going to go to free speech. You're attacking free speech now. You know, some of these college students and stuff, you know, a conservative cannot even point. In fact, they want to get rid of God. And some places, they in Australia, I believe, it was a church. They put a sign that says Jesus lives. They made him take that sign down because they didn't want the word Jesus. They want to ban the word Jesus. See, and this is why we're having trouble, is because we're getting rid of God and Jesus. They want to play God. The Democrat Party wants to be God, and we're supposed to worship them. Sorry, I don't worship people like that. I worship God and I worship Jesus, not people who pretend that they're God. That's probably the most abhorrent and dangerous people you can have in power, when they play God, because only God can give us paradise. And we will have paradise if we go to heaven. I believe that. He will give us paradise. There'll be no sadness. But on earth, they can promise paradise, but do you know what they deliver? Misery in the process. You know, they might have somewhat paradise for themselves because they're the ones that get rich, but that will only be temporary too. So that's, you know, I have kind of like a gripe on that. I just, you know, like I said, you know, with these school shootings and all this stuff and nothing really, they don't, and nothing really going to be done about it, because they aren't going to have school security. You know, all these politicians, you know, you try to get into the White House, you won't get in there because, I mean, they got guns all over the place. It's like a fortress. In a school, they don't want to arm up a guard. Anybody that's been trained, a law-abiding citizen, and they're just saying a little sign up that says gun-free zone, and somehow they're trying to convince you that the criminal will look at it and say, well, we can't shoot this place up. It's gun-free. Well, we know very well criminals don't obey the law. That's a definition of a criminal, someone who breaks the law. And that's the thing. It just, like I said, I hope sometime we can get to the bottom of it and come up with real solutions. We get some politicians in there, somebody, some statesman, some patriot, they'll come up with a real solution to this, and no more pansying around saying, well, we just ban the guns and the criminals will lay down their guns. I mean, it's so arrogant, these people. They have such an arrogance to them, you know. They think somehow, and so many people, what's scary is a lot of people that think it's true, if you just, you know, take the guns away from the law-abiding, that the bad guys aren't going to do any more shooting. And we all know that's not going to happen. Just common sense tells you that. Because I went to law enforcement, and I got to study the mind of some criminals. And like I said, criminals are cowards, basically. If there's people armed in there, you know, and are trained in their arms, it wouldn't take much. I mean, even any civilian, if they want to get trained, go in and get training and go ahead and maybe have a job at the school as a guard, but armed guard, not a disarmed guard, because that's worthless then. Have an armed guard. Believe me, up here with kids, I mean, kids around here have guns anyway, their parents, so they've been around guns. They're not scared of guns. I have people tell me, well, if a police guy are in there, or armed guards are in there, people are going to run and they're going to be scared. They're going to be scared of anybody carrying a gun. I said, if they're a guard, they will not be scared of someone protecting them, you know. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, if somebody's trained in there and carries a gun, I guarantee it, the person going in trying to commit a shooting probably won't do it because they'll have fear of death themselves. They don't want to die. And that would work. And Israel done that since 1974. And I believe they had only one school shooting since 1974 till now. That's pretty darn good, you know, and they were having school shootings all the time. They allowed the teachers to carry the guns in there. They didn't mandate it, but they gave them training, and they gave them, like, weapons that, you know, they call, like, the AR-15. They gave them those type of rifles, which are excellent for home defense. And by the way, AR-15 is not an assault rifle. The AR stands for Armalite rifle. And the AR-15 is a low-powered round, and it's not a full auto. And I do have full autos. I know the difference. And to get one legally, which I had to do is to go in and get, you actually had to get fingerprinted, get photo ID, a couple photo IDs, and then there was $200 transfer tax. Then I got my machine gun, but it's legal, see. I won't go out there and break the law and end up, you know, if you get caught, that's a 10-year prison sentence. That doesn't sound too appealing to me. You wouldn't see me on Facebook or on the show if I went to jail, and I don't want to go to jail, so I follow all the law, just like you do, Glenn. We follow the law, and it keeps us out of trouble. And I think some on the left, that even if you follow the law, they still want to throw you in jail just because you are conservative and believe in God. And I've heard one of them claim that if people believe in God or go to church, that they have a mental problem. I mean, some of the liberals are saying that, no, we have mental problems if we go to church or we believe in God or believe in Jesus, and so they probably would try to use that to deny a gun. See, this is what they're going to try to do. I know how these people think. You know, they're going to try to deny guns to people who are really decent people and not a threat, and yet they'll supply guns to people like Antifa, the movements who are Democrats who have guns that use the guns to intimidate and threaten people, you know, and they go to these rallies now, and I don't know if there must be a Democrat mayor because they're ordered, the police are there, and they're ordered to stand down. So here are these Antifa groups who are not police officers. They're goons is what they are. They walk around with an AR-15 or whatever they're carrying. And, you know, they're not shooting anybody, but they walk around, and like I said, they use it as a form of intimidation, you know. Whereas us, if I carry a firearm, it's usually a handgun. I don't carry an AR-15. It's a kind of a pain in the neck to carry, you know, walking around with a rifle because it's awkward, you know. So I carry a handgun. I keep it concealed, and I carry it legally. I have my permit, and it's all legal that way, and I'm not threatening anybody or nobody's scared because they don't see it. And like I said, I always believe that, like I said, more guns equal less crime. And the more guns in the hands of good, decent people will equate to a lot less crime. And like I said, I'd like to disarm the criminal, but I don't know how we can, because criminals are, you know, they break the law and they'll get the guns no matter what. So anyway, I'll turn this back over to you, my friend.
Well, you make a lot of good points, as usual, and you know, the first point you were really stressing was God. You know, we're this country, this world is leaving God out, for the most part, leaving God out of the equation, and that's the most important. We need to have God, you know, in our homes, at the supper tables, you know, and we need to have a supper table. We need to have people eating together and talking about God, prayer and fasting, and we need to have them in our schools, like we used to when we were kids. When, you know, in the mornings, you know, you have your prayer and whatever have you, and you have your all that, you know, have even they should have studies with God, and that helps big time. That's the most important. That's our foundation, and that's why we're here. So therefore, the only way we're going to be able to be, doing the right thing is with God, having a godly message out there for people, and prayer and fasting. People have to understand that they have to believe in God, not in man, because when man wants to do what they want to do, man's fallible. Man makes mistakes, and man can sometimes be very, very evil, because they're not following God. They're following some evil ways to basically control. And that's what this government, not just this government, but governments, or that's why Donald Trump is trying to drain the swamp. He's trying to get the evil out with God, of course. And that's the problem. So the only way we're going to do it is by prayer and fasting with God, and knowing that, you know, to follow Him, to do the right thing. We're not perfect, but at least if we have that foundation we're believing in, we're going to do the right thing most times. Whereas how it's been going over the last several decades, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Of course, Revelation in the Bible shows it will be. At the same time, the only way we can fight against this awful, evil world is with God, and we need to have that in the schools and in our houses, you know, in our homes, where, you know, the man is the spiritual leader and whatever have you, and you know, he's being led by God, not by man. So, you know, with all this gun, you know, restrictions and whatever else that they want to do, you know, that's the thing is we have to get into each individual that is doing whatever they're doing and set the guidelines for so they are not getting these guns. And as far as the AR-15s go, you know, they're stressing that, oh, look at that, you know, it's a, oh, man, that's awful. But it's the sight of it. It's not what it does. That they're trying to push the narrative of this gun is very dangerous. It's very this. You know, it's only dangerous if you have someone that has a bad attitude behind it. But it's the look of that gun that I guess is supposedly intimidates people. But they're not talking about that. They're talking about just, you know, it kills, and it's like, well, you know, every gun can kill, every knife can kill, every car can kill, you know, I mean, anything, water can kill, if you have too much of it, if it's not used the correct way. So therefore, you know, do you see water in jail? Do you see guns in jail? Do you, you know, you point that out? Do you see cars in jail? No, it's the mentality behind what you're doing with what you have. That's what it is, and how you react to something. Because you know what, the best way to react to anything is a positive way with God. So if we have those values and principles instilled in our schools, in our homes, then the children get it from home and they get it from the school, and therefore they're going to have their friends and everybody else going to be influenced in a right way, so they're going to have the right mentality to react the right way. Because we're all responsible for how we react. Individuals, because, you know, we're not all going to jail for one person doing something, or we're not going to hell for what one person did. We are all judged individually, and the way we find out how that works out is by reading and studying the Bible and knowing what God has done for us to be here and living in that way. So, you know, you're right with you know, the way the government wants to basically control us and take away the guns from everybody, because see, they don't want to really tell you exactly why they want to do that. Of course they're not, because they would expose the real truth. So they give you a little bit of it makes it look really good, the reason why they want to get rid of all these guns, and the real reason is because if they take away the guns altogether, then therefore they're of the criminal mindset, where they know you don't have one, so therefore they can intimidate you and control you and do what they want with you and your money and everything if they have the gun to show you you're going to die if you don't do what we say. So basically,
exactly.
Excuse me, So basically, that's what they're trying to do, and they've been trying to do that for decades. And we have an administration right now that's not allowing that to happen. And you see that with ISIS, where, you know, pretty much only 1% of it is existing, if anything, right now. And there's other things going on with North Korea. We've got a president that basically, he does not want anything to do with this North Korea obviously bombing us and whatever have you. So now he's for the first time in any other president is actually going to be speaking with this North Korea leader, and that's going to be in May from what I hear, and see if we can get something, so we can actually get rid of these nuclear bombs and all this kind of stuff, whatever, and their program for that. And he's sending a big message all over the world, not just to Americans and to North Korea, but, Israel too, that we are here for peace. We're here to actually, we don't want to have wars and whatever. We don't want to control anything. We want to allow God in and actually have God control us and not fight and argue and control people. Because of money and whatever have you. So that's what it's all coming down to is, if you ever want to find out the truth, follow the money. And that's where you'll find out where
exactly.
The truth really is, what they're trying to do with everything. And, there was a time where the money wasn't involved, and there was just the barter system, there was this and that. And that was a lot easier for people to they know they had something of value to someone else, and they would trade off and whatever have you, and therefore they would set that precedent that way, as opposed to trying to get something from somebody and steal something from somebody or whatever have you to gain power and whatever, which is greed. It's all about the greed and the control, and that's what the gun control is all about. It's not supposed to be gun control, people. It's supposed to be God control. Therefore, we have people control. Therefore, we don't have to worry about as much of the people that are abusing each other with guns and power and lack of real authority. So therefore, that's what I believe, that once we get back to those basic principles we got away from, because we allowed governments and people to control us because we were just being the sheeple, just being quiet, and on a sneaky level they were doing it too. They did a lot of this underhanded stuff, and they turn up the heat without you even realizing it. And next thing you're it's at a boiling point where now it's out of hand, but we can still get it back.
Exactly.
Because we have an awesome God that reigns upon us here, and He says, "Come to Me, and you'll have all you need, and you'll be protected." And this is what I do believe, that God has anointed Mr. Donald Trump, our president, to have that control back with God, and he's doing a lot of amazing things in short periods of time, because he's not feared of man. Donald Trump is not feared of man at all. He's disappointed in man, just like God is. He's disappointed. He's trying to actually appoint people in his administration that are going to drain the swamp. The only way you can actually get rid of something is by voting something or appointing something in its place. And therefore, that's why he's having such a hard time with this lady he's about to appoint to the CIA. First woman lady that's going to be the head of the CIA. I mean, that's incredible. Of course, you get your liberals that say, oh, you know what? We don't want her because she was so hard on the terrorists. I mean, really? Hard on the terrorists? I mean, the first purpose of the presidency is to actually secure the American people, and by doing that, you keep the terrorists away, and you get whatever truce you need from them in whatever way you possibly can. And so you cannot be too hard on the terrorists, because they wouldn't be. They're coming in here. They're trying to kill us. So therefore, if these people are these ones that are afraid that she's too hard on terrorists and too much of a stronghold, that's what we've been lacking for decades and decades and decades. I mean, it's incredible what the mindset of these people are. But you know what? It's all coming out, and we're getting some of these Democrats and liberals that have been these are people that are 50, 60, 70 years old. Some of these people are actually starting to rethink some things because of the exposure of the truth and connecting it to the understanding to why things have become the way they are. So some people are actually turning closer to God, of course, and a more conservative understanding of it all. So that's refreshing, and we're not there yet, but we're moving in the right direction, because one big reason is Donald Trump is allowing God to come through and crush political correctness. That has been the key to his success. For about 50% of his success has been able to get rid of the political correctness that paves the way to actually understanding we need God correctness. We need to understand that it's not about politics. It's about the truth. And that's why God named this show. I did not name it, folks. It's called The Politically Inconvenient Truth. And that's why, because the truth is so politically inconvenient, it doesn't serve them on their narrative, their agenda. So therefore, that's why God wanted you and I to be doing this show. It's because we need to be like, you know, some of the people on Fox, like Hannity and Tucker and Carlson and whatever have you, Laura Ingraham and all these people that are out there trying to expose all this truth, because you're not going to hear it on these other networks like MSNBC, CNN, ABC, and all of CBS. You're just not going to hear it because they are part of the political, inconvenient truth. They just don't care about having the truth. So we're bringing it up to the forefront. So it's starting to make some differences, and it started as soon as really Donald Trump became the candidate. As soon as he announced he was, being a candidate for the presidency, it started day by day, bit by bit. But you know what? It's because he went by the old adage, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, and that's what he's been doing. That's why, you know, it's not intimidating to him, so he just took it and put the right people in place and some people that wasn't doing what they're supposed to do, he drained them too, got rid of them, or sometimes they only had a certain time that he needed them for, or they needed to do that certain job, so then he got someone else in their place. He's made some mistakes, but he's made a heck of a lot of things happen because, you know, we're man. We're not going to be perfect. But I'll tell you, for what he did, and if you look at any 1 month of his presidency, or matter of fact, go back even before that, before he even become inaugurated, any 1 month that he was serving these people here with God, it's incredible what he's done in 1 month. Obama didn't do in the whole 8 years. That's incredible, and that's the truth. So any one day, what he's done to build upon, he's been doing better than Obama ever did, or the Bushes or whatever, you know, back as far as Reagan. Reagan did a lot of great things, but Donald Trump, Ronald Reagan, if he was alive today and just watching, he'd be amazed and proud of what Donald Trump's accomplished, because he hadn't been able to do some of the things that Donald Trump is doing now, and therefore. It's not a knock against Reagan. Reagan was an awesome president. He was the best one we had since Kennedy. But at the same time, as far as my opinion goes anyway, from what they've done and what they accomplished, no president is going to be perfect, because Jesus is the only one that's perfect. And as long as they have been following Jesus, then they're going to do a lot more right than wrong. And admit it too, you know, and that's the whole thing. So what's your take on that, Gary?
Well, you're exactly right. And you were talking about, you know, solutions. And I know I told you the solution to the school shooting. The real solutions that work, you know. But here's some long-range solutions, too. We're going to have to get God back, you know. And another one that's really important is to keep families together, you know. Because it's too easy to get a divorce and your kids suffer. And like I said, and also value human life. You know, where we have life, which is the most important right we have, because all the other rights really mean nothing without the right to life. The life that we protect unborn life. I mean, I consider when the baby is conceived, when a child's conceived, at the moment of conception, that's when human life begins. Yeah, they might be a cluster of cells at first, but it turns into a little baby. And, I've talked to women. We've had women on our show, you know, on other shows, and I talked about, you know, when they have an abortion and they see what they've done, they finally realize they just killed their own child. And then a lot of them become self-destructive, suicidal, they maybe turn to drugs or whatever, just because of what they've done. They have such a guilt over it. So abortion is not this panacea that they pretend to be. You know, it originally started... Who was that lady's name? I just heard her name a couple hours ago on one of my YouTube things. It was a racist to get rid of blacks, you know, black children. Margaret Sanger, wasn't that who it was?
Glenn? Yeah.
I think it was Margaret said. Yeah, but anyway, evil person, you know, to kill because they wanted to get rid of her. She was a racist. She had to be a Democrat because the Republican Party actually started because they wanted to get rid of, to allow minorities like blacks to vote, to get rid of the slavery, to, you know, and of course the KKK, you know, evil party would string blacks up or string whites up, but it would help blacks. So, I mean, and any country that has slavery has racism, it would use a race to discriminate or even to eliminate the rights or, what you know, the control of that matter. It's never going to be a free country, you know. And we had our problems with that. And right now with the Democrat Party, and there's a lot of Republicans too, hate to say it, but a lot of Republicans are in on this too, they seek the control over that. This gun control has nothing to do with protecting their kids. I came up with a solution. It gets deleted right there. They're scared of that, because that would end it, and then they'd have to figure out how else can we take away guns. See, yeah. They're using this because it's very emotional. When you lose a child in a school shooting, that's very emotional. And of course, that affects people, and some people are willing. Okay, fine, I'll turn my guns over. It won't do a thing. It's symbolism is what it is. It won't stop the next one because the criminal is still going to have theirs. They're not turning them over. I have an AR sitting. I'm looking at it right now, right around the corner there. Right by the door, the AR sitting. I got actually two of them. I got a Panther, which is the same thing. It's just a 308 version. It's not a 223. Well, anyway, I got something sitting there, and either one of those guns have killed anything. I mean, I shot up a couple clumps of dirt in the field with it, and just for a little fun, I put them on video. You know, they haven't killed anybody. It gets the heart of the person that does the killing. If they have a black heart, they're going to kill. And I can guarantee you too, God doesn't care if you have a gun or not. He doesn't care. If you use it for shooting paper targets, he's fine with it. He's okay. You're not hurting anybody. But if you use a knife, a gun, a fist to kill someone or harm people, it's done from the heart. See, that's what he's concerned about. That's what he cares about. He doesn't care about the object. The object has no soul. The object's not going to go to heaven. It's just an object. It's, yep. You know, I don't care how menacing it may look. The AR-15 to me does not look menacing. In fact, it's not a military weapon. It's the M-16 is, and that's the military weapon. That's a full-auto version. It'll fire either way. I do have a military rifle in my gun cabinet. It's an old bolt action. It's made in 1895. In fact, it was before. You didn't even have to go through an FFL dealer because it's antique. Still shoots, though. I shoot it. And it's, to me, it might be ugly to other people, but to me, I look at it's actually a beautiful weapon because it was used, you know, it was used, and who knows what type of history it has, a lot of history to them, and it was used to defend the enemy, you know. Now the gun is never going to be used to take a human life or never going to be used in a criminal way, see. I always tell people, if the guns are used, give them to me. I said, I'll take them because then they'll be safe. Nobody's going to ever die from them, you know. And just, you know, and that's the way I look at it. It's what you do with the heart. You know, if somebody goes out, you know, like I said, you know, if you drive a car over somebody and purposely do it, that's murder, and God condemns that. He doesn't going to say, well, that car is a horrible car for doing that. It sounds so, and that's what they do with guns. Well, that gun, that's a horrible gun for doing, I mean, it's the person, the person's heart. The gun is just, I mean, if I want to, I can chop the gun up in chop saw. I mean, it's just metal. That's all it is. And, you know, it has no conscience. I mean, they're not going to prosecute me for chopping up a gun, you know, because it's my property. Of course, I won't do that because they're valuable. I mean, there's a lot of money invested in them. And, but like I said, if somebody wants to go out and make a statement and chop their gun up, I don't care. Go ahead, do it. You know, it's their firearm, it's their property. They can do what they want with it. God doesn't care either. He cares what you do with your heart. If you use, if you have a black heart and you swindle people out of money, now it may not be murder, but it's still a horrible act. See, things that you do against the teaching of the Ten Commandments, if you go against them, it's a mortal sin is what we call it. And if you violate, say, libel someone, say if you violate the Ninth Commandment, shall not bear false witness, which is slander or libel, that's a bad, evil thing, too. It's a form of hate. It doesn't have to be killing somebody is a form of hate, which it is, but it doesn't have to be that to be hateful. Like, libel can be hateful, too. You know, if you encourage violence to somebody else, like what happens if people voted for Trump, they go out and say, get him, he voted for Trump, and they beat him up. That's a form of hate, see? You don't have to do it yourself. You just encourage somebody else to do it. That, you know, your words of action. You can be in, well, you can get indicted for that, too. People have gotten in trouble. And that's the way it is. And God, like I said, that's why he has the Ten Commandments. It's because those are just, they're simple rules to follow. You just follow those rules. And I know people probably, I think all of us have broken them. I've broken them, and you've broken them. We all have broken them. But we, and not just committed murder, nothing serious, but we have broken them. If you use the Lord's name in vain, you know, that's also a sin, you know. So you can't do that either, you know. So, you know, and he's forgiving. God is very forgiving. I mean, if you're truly repentful, and if you're not repentful and you pretend to be, well, you might fool everybody, but you aren't going to fool God. So I'll turn this back to you, my friend.
Oh, you're so right about that. And sometimes there's too many of those people out there that are fooling themselves and everybody else. But God sees everything. He knows everything that's happened before. He knows what's in your mind. He knows what's about to happen. So you can't fool him. So you're right about that. But you know, back with this the school violence and whatever, there was a rally this week, and a bunch of these Democrats went with these kids or whatever have you. But you know, one thing I found that, you know, that they're so hypocritical. These like Chuck Schumer, for example, he goes to this rally and he speaks whatever. But you know, as he's going through the crowd, guess who he has around him? His armed bodyguards. I'm like, you know, they have guns. So yet, you know, their narrative is it's okay for me, but not okay for you to have a gun, because you know. So therefore, I don't get that mentality. Every one of these high figures or whatever have you, they feel they have to protect themselves and what they have. Well, what they're trying to tell us, that these people don't have a right the same as they do. I mean, just because they're a political leader, or if they're an actor or a musician or whatever, I mean, they all have guards or have guns themselves to protect themselves, and so therefore, I'm not saying that their mentality is wrong as far as being able to have that right. I'm saying that their mentality is wrong for telling other people they do not have that right and get the gun away from them. And so therefore, it's equality. It's supposed to be equal, you know. If what's good for the goose is good for the gander, so therefore everything and everybody should be treated the same way, and that's why it's equal justice, not social justice. And this is what they're trying to do. This is what it all comes down to, is communism and social justice. They want it to be able to have it just push the narrative and focus on that, you know, you all don't need those guns, you know, because that's going to kill people. Well, no, if that's the case, then you shouldn't have your bodyguards, because those guns are going to kill people too. But they're only going to kill people, as they're only supposed to be killing people, in defense. So, you know, a gun is not offensive or defensive unless the person behind it has the attitude of whichever way they're going to use it or abuse it. So therefore, that's the whole idea. It's the abuse of, not of guns, it's abuse of what people's minds are towards what they're using them for. And that's the whole mentality that it needs to be looked at. And then in these schools, to protect these kids, whatever, just like they, if you go to an airport or a concert or any political event or whatever, I mean, everybody has this security around them, and there's guns and whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that. So therefore, our kids should be treated the same way, because this is happening, because all the shootings, whatever, is happening because they don't have anybody there or enough people to defend themselves. So, you know, like even in Paul Harvey's address with the, you know, if I were the devil, you know, he had metal detectors and whatever in the schools and armed people. I mean, that's what we need to have. So therefore, you know, if there's three levels to the school, whatever, and there's back doors, front doors, there should be an armed security guard or a retired policeman, a veteran, whatever, at those doors on every level, with walkie-talkies, communicating with each other, and being open to these kids to talk with them and be friendly, you know, in a way, not to be intimidated, but to be friendly, to open up conversation if they ever, you know, to have that, if I see or hear something, I need to tell it. So open that communication
exactly
up with the kids. If they have that with God, the, you know, in the schools, there's going to be, there's going to be almost zero of any behavior of any kind of gun shootings in schools, because you're well protected. You have the gun detectors. You have man, as being the guards and whatever have you. And I think I said 2 weeks ago, an idea that I heard was a good one is if you can get these people to that are, you know, obviously they're law-abiding citizens. Maybe they were a police officer or a retired one or a veteran that you know, they can actually do the job. You know, if they have to run or they have to, you know, if they have to be physically able, at least that point. If they're trained properly, like, you know, and they have all, you know, the right weaponry that they need. And if they have that, and what we do is we just pay them. Like, you know, if it's basically pay them by if they have at least 15 or 20 hours of service per week or whatever, because schools aren't open all the time, like, you know what I'm saying? So basically if they just, you know, if they work two or three shifts a week because, you know, they may be retired, maybe they're older, but, you know, who knows. But just give them their taxes free. So if we're working, I think that's a way of offsetting the cost or whatever. So therefore, it's not as expensive to run because there's a lot of schools, of course, and have every school doing that. You know, and if teachers want to be armed, then they have the right to, and as long as they're trained and have, you know, everything's good to go, then they have in the school, in the actual classroom, they have a gun right there. You know, concealed carry is fine for stuff like that. You don't have to have open carry for that. As far as the teachers, whatever, you can have the concealed carry, that's fine. But at least they have that there, and the students know that. And anyone that should come to that class knows that they have to think twice before they actually ever could, you know, pull off something like that, because they have security guards, they have the teachers, and all these people in the school, around the school, outside the school, inside the school, that are not going to put up with this. They're going to react in a godly way, and that is to defend themselves and the people in that school. I don't see a problem with any of that, and I know deep down these other people that are having security guards, whatever, like politicians and entertainment, you know, the people in the media, they all have the security guards. So I know that they know what we're saying. They know that what we're saying is right, but they don't want that. They don't want that right. They don't want everybody else to have the right, just themselves. And so therefore, if we have this at school. Yeah,
all
exactly.
These buildings that these politicians are, they're all locked up too. They're just like, you know, like I said, that's what the schools should do. You know, I mean, matter of fact, even gone beyond, because look at the White House. I think you can't get within a half a mile from it, and you're going to be approached by a law officer. You know, I mean, they're really secure. But the schools, all you need is, like you were saying, a guard at each door. And I would say keep the doors locked so they could be let people in and check them. You know,
exactly.
Have a metal detector there, because we're going to need metal detectors if somebody has a gun hidden under the coat, that somebody doesn't belong there. And another thing, too, if people don't belong there, I mean, there's no reason for anybody to come into the school anyway unless they have a student there, a kid there, a child there. Other than that, if they have no kids there, there's no reason for them to approach or go into the school, you know. And that's the thing, you know, just you have to have it secure, you know. Because we had our kids go into school. Our names are on a list, and they check it. Give them your ID. They check it, and then you give them in. Our school, and the one in Jamestown is locked. The one in Jamestown is locked now. They have to push a button, and it buzzes somebody. And they have wands. And I didn't get wanded because they knew me, but a lot of people, they don't know them. They wand them. And they said, well, some of the liberals say, well, you're violating the Fourth Amendment rights. And I said, well, they don't want to violate Fourth Amendment rights, but they want to remove our Second Amendment rights in that process. So in their process, what they want to do is make our homes gun-free, you know. And I said, works real well for the schools, doesn't it? You know, I mean, look at school shootings all the time. You're going to see shootings in the house, but you don't see much of shootings in the house where there's armed society. Go up North Dakota. Very rarely. In fact, I don't think I've heard of a criminal breaking in. I think maybe once in 10 years you might hear somebody, nobody got shot because the homeowner held them until the police come and picked them up. Some teenagers broke into the house, and of course the homeowner didn't want to shoot the teenagers, but he held them there, and the police come and arrested them. Now this teenager has a felony on their record. So, you know, like I said, if the guns in the proper hands save lives. I mean, the guy, nobody wants to take, I don't want to shoot anybody. Somebody breaks in my house, if I don't have to, I won't, but I'm going to hold them there, and I'll make sure they get arrested, you know, because they broke the law. They committed a felony. So, you know, Anyway, I'll turn this back to you. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I had to say something on that. So, yeah.
Oh, no, they're not interrupting at all. This is what we're here for, to share those the truth, of course, definitely. If anybody else would like to join us, please call us at 646-787-8534. And if you have a comment or a question, please press 1 and we'll get you right on there. But, yeah, you're right.
Maybe there's a solution they might offer that we haven't thought of. So call in if you have a solution. Come up with something.
Exactly.
Tell us.
That's what we're here for. Is, you know, there's problems and we need solutions and we need input. We need to have that and we need a good discussion with it, with no profanity, of course, and everything. We just need to have some brainstorming. Get things going. You know, there's a lot of good ideas out there, but we need to implement some of these to get it going. And of course, I do see some things happening. The Trump Organization is doing such. And another thing too is having these people that are coming in, they're illegal immigrants. They call them illegal immigrants. I call them illegal aliens because immigrant is legal. That implies legal, but alien implies illegal. So therefore, you're getting a lot of these people that are doing all these shootings and killings and whatever have you, and they're illegal. And Donald Trump is actually in the process of trying to pick which wall we're going to use to protect these borders. Just like Israel does, and so therefore, that's a discussion. You know, we'd like to have an extensive discussion on with people coming in and calling us and giving their solutions or rebuttal or whatever they have. You know, to make this thing happen so we can protect these American people and legal immigrants, people that are supposed to be here by they're documented legally, and whatever have you, and contributing to society. And if they're not. Then if they're criminal, hey, if you're an American-born person, you go to jail if you're doing things that are illegal. So it's no different. You coming across, you started coming here with an illegal procedure, and so therefore, if you're even, you know, doing more while you're here to go against America and whatever, and not assimilating and creating, you're doing things that are a criminal nature, well, then you're going to be prosecuted and deported. That's just the way it is. And if anybody has any problem with that, then why do they have a door in their house? You know, they have a door in their house to keep people in safe and keep people out and protecting this privacy. And that's no different than a border. A border is the same as a door. It's just a longer, you know, protection for everybody here. And it also protects, you know, the other side too, because what happens is, say, for example, Mexico, whatever. I mean, if they're coming through Mexico to get to America, you know, because maybe they're not all Mexicans. They're people coming from different from wherever, and therefore it keeps them honest too, because now they've got them there, and then you know in Mexico they'll put you in jail. They don't have any qualms with that. They'll throw you in jail and they'll do a heck of a lot more than our jail's ever done. So therefore, we don't have to worry about that if we have a border, a wall on that border. And, you know, with manning it and, you know, cameras and video and everything, just you name it. That's what we need to have, and that's what Donald Trump was looking at a few days ago, at the different prototypes, if you will, and what we can do with them, because he wants to stop once and for all. I mean, you're not going to stop everything, but you know what? With a wall and the proper security and having detainment when things are criminal, whatever, you know, that's the whole reason why a president is supposed to be here. That's the biggest reason, isn't that? Is to protect this country for security reasons. That's first and foremost. And if anybody has a problem with that, then they're mostly obviously of they have a mentality of unlawfulness. That's what it is. Because why would they in their right mind go against having security in this country? And, you know, I can't get over that. It's just incredible. Well, I come from Canada, and I'm doing everything I can to be within the law. And by the way, if you don't agree with the law, it doesn't mean you break it or you have your own solution for it and you do that. No, you got to be part of the change. And because, you know, there is some things, obviously, that's wrong with every country. But in this country, there's some things that are wrong with some laws. But you know what? I didn't break them. I went ahead and I went along with it to a point where I have to be a part of the change, not a part of the problem, because it's never going to get fixed if people continue to break that, which is not maybe right. Well, you know, you can't. You got to basically have there's a patience in there. There's some time you have to basically implement these things to change them, that creates a bill to for the change, and then it gets passed by Congress and whatever, and then you go from there. But, you know, you don't take the law upon yourself and just kind of go out and do your own thing. And so that's why, and I never done that. A lot of people in this country couldn't even understand why I was doing what I was doing. I'm saying, well, you know what? I don't agree with the law. It doesn't mean I'm going to go ahead and break it. I'm here for to be part of the change and to have a solution to making it right, not to continue to be following what's wrong as far as breaking it, making it worse. So, you know, it's the same thing with anything to do with these guns. You know, if you're breaking the law, you're doing something that's a defensive thing to protect yourself, great. But if you're actually going out there and doing something because you don't agree with whatever, and you go out there and you're going to be offensive and shoot someone because you don't agree with what they said or did, or you want what's theirs, that's wrong. And you deserve to be in jail and or deported if you're not legal here. Or if you're not a citizen or whatever, then you break the law, then you go to jail and get deported. And if you're a citizen, you go to jail and you stay there for as long as that penalty is to be served. That's just the way the process works, folks. But like I said,
it's
if you have any ways, yeah, exactly. You know, it's true. And you know, and the thing is we make it more complicated by not getting involved in the process when it comes to voting and changes and whatever have you. People just rather go out there and they think it's easier just to go out there and take the law upon themselves and go out there and do what they feel is right. Well, it doesn't work that way, you know, because if we're living by God's law first, then we're going to understand that, you know, he does say we have to follow civil law. And if you do not like what's going on with the civil law, then you have to be part of the change, not part of the problem. That's basic and simple values that we should be learning right from day one. When we speak, when we hear, when we listen, we see, we'll know the difference, which is right and wrong, if we have God in our value system. And then we have to understand that we do have to, there's a pecking order here, God, and then man makes mistakes, but you know what, we have to be part of correcting that with God. That's the only way we're going to do it. So I'll give back to you, Gary.
Well, exactly right. Now, we're getting close to closing, but anyway, you know, I agree with you 100% on this. You know, they write laws, and I always say be involved with it when you're writing a law, because if there's a bad law, then we have to do what we can to stop it from being passed. You know, because, and of course, the president has that power too. I mean, to a point, he can veto it, but of course, anything can be overridden with 2/3. But the thing is, you know, one thing I was going to say, the Democrats, you know, I hope they never get elected again, because I think a lot of them have mental issues and stuff, and they become dangerous. I was listening to some of their statements. I mean, it's so bizarre. You know, like Hillary, she was saying that. The Clintons never abused women, and they're trying to blame Donald Trump for abusing women. And Donald Trump actually said it straight on his when he said he used words. Probably wasn't right, but he used words. Where Bill Clinton was a man of action, he didn't use words. He did things like accused of rape and stuff. Bill Clinton did that, and he said he probably had locker room talk, and I think a lot of guys do when they're younger. You know, your hormones kick in, and you see a beautiful girl, you're going to probably look at, oh, wow, you know. I mean, you know, it's like you get older, you mellow out, you know, and, of course, you get married, and you stay with your wife. You don't look at other women, you know. But when you're 15, 16, that's normal. That's just part of growing up, and that's what you have parents for, so they can put a stop to it, you know. That's why the father is important, too, because they try to get rid of the father, and I think the family breaks apart. But the father is more of a strict disciplinarian. They're the ones, you know, if the kids start doing things they're not supposed to do, the father can lay the law down and ground them and do whatever you have to do to stop them, you know, short of violence. You don't beat the kid up or anything, but you do what you have to do, just anything that's within the law to stop, that's why we need the families to stay together. You know, and it's as simple as that, you know, just keep the family together. I mean, sure, there's, there's alcoholism or drinking or drug use or infidelity if you're cheating on your spouse. Yeah, that's that destroys a family. But if there's none of that, and going to church as a family, you know, and it's important to go to church every Sunday and worship. Worship God, and then maybe spend a little time at church and visit with a few people. Communication's good. It's good to socialize a little bit. And nowadays, they don't do that anymore. Now they're texting on phones and playing games on phones. It's that cell phone or the computer becomes the all-important object of the day instead of friends, you know, because before we were growing up, we went out and played, you know, went outside and played. We socialized that way. Nowadays, they're texting. In fact, it's gotten to the point where they're texting. I've seen people, two people in the same room text to each other instead of talking to each other. You know, communication, use your voice. You have a voice and you have a speech. We have the gift of speech. You know, animals can't speak. We can. And we use that, but now we have to sit there and type these little buttons on the keyboard on the phone. And their friend is probably sitting 3 feet away and texting them. I mean, it's kind of funny in a way, but it also just shows how society has crumbled and changed. So anyway, I'm going to let you wrap up the show, my friend. So I'll let you take it from here.
Well, you're exactly right. Communication is so important with God and fellowship with other Christian people. You know, that's what we need. And fellowship will also hold you accountable for stuff. You know, that you're not maybe on the right track, whatever. So having fellowship is really good to have. It keeps people honest with God because God, you know, he wants us to plant seeds and have other people understand that, you know, right from wrong. And fellowship with good friends and fellowship, there are brothers and sisters, you know, so therefore we want to actually look out for their best interests. So I totally agree with you with that. Communication, you know, texting, phone and all that stuff, whatever, back and forth, whatever, yeah, use it but don't abuse it. Now, if you're in the same room or whatever have you, that's not really, really, really a good option. But you're so right with what you're saying there. You know, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing when you look at people and they take pictures of a room and it looks like everybody's texting. It's like, you know what, why can't you all just talk to each other? But anyways, you're right. Yeah, we are coming near the end of the show. And I'm going to end the show like we usually do with more of Paul Harvey, some good old hard work, and I think that's what a lot of people are lacking. Although we do have Mr. Trump getting people back to work, which is great, so people are encouraged and whatever have you. So let's end this with some good old hard work with Paul Harvey, and we want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Pitt Radio News. The Pitt stands for Politically Inconvenient Truth, with my wonderful co-host up in North Dakota, Gary Rumor, and myself bidding you adieu, and we thank you, and God bless you and America.
Thank you. God bless America and you.
American preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you today, I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. the fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.